This is the Seahawkers Podcast, episode 378. I'm Brandon Schultz of the Military Seahawkers, and joining me is my good buddy and Montana Seahawker, Adam Emmert.
Just sitting here dialed in, buddy, and I know that you know that I'm dialed in because I let you know.
Because you texted me the telephone emoji before we started. That's right. That's how I knew you were dialed in.
When I text you this, you know I'm dialed in.
Oh, starting off with the Russ content right away. We're not even going to wait. Russell Wilson tweeting out this week that when I text you the telephone emoji, that means I'm dialed in. My favorite response, though, was from the at NFL Twitter account that said, when I text you, and I think it was a pants emoji.
It means
Broncos country, let's ride.
Right. Which that makes about as much sense as Russ's little just about thing there. I don't understand. Like, wouldn't that be a private text to a person so that they know? Like, who is he? Should I be expecting a text from Russ at some point? Should the general public be expecting a text from Russ?
Just like I'm getting banking scam text messages, Russ is just going to start auto sending to everybody little telephone emojis. So if you get from an unknown number a text message with just a telephone emoji, you know it's from Russell Wilson and that he is dialed in.
Do you think he has a 206 area code still? Or is it, isn't that Seattle area code?
Do you think it's 206? Do you think he got his cell when he was at Wisconsin? Or do you think it's still from North Carolina?
Nah, I think he got a new one when he became a pro. Now, my curiosity would be, does he have a Denver area code now? Did he upgrade again?
If he were really dialed in with the Broncos, you've got to update the area code because that's how you know. As soon as I got done moving around, I think I used my DC area cell phone where I got my first cell phone up until the point we moved back to Montana. Oh, maybe I did get a Washington one. I can't remember.
Hard telling, not knowing.
But you know that you've decided to settle once you change your area code, set a new number, and be like, this is my forever phone number.
Exactly. 3 days ago, I texted Jared the telephone emoji, just that, out of the blue.
Did he know?
So then I get a phone call about 3 hours later. He's like, hey, man, what's going on? I was like, I just let you know I was dialed in. He's like, what?
Oh, that's too bad.
Like, I thought I needed to call you. I was like, no, I'm just dialed in, bud. Just
dialed in.
I did not explain it for like a while. It was great. Russ is adding a lot of joy to my life in terms of being able to make fun of Bronco Jared relentlessly regarding the weirdness that is now the Russell Wilson show.
You got to take it where you can.
Yeah.
Well, I like this because for one, I haven't been super excited about getting into this week's topic because on this week's show, we're talking about the Super Bowl. The Rams won it all last year.
Catfishing Rams. Yeah. Yeah. It's the Know Your Rivals Rams podcast. It was time. We had to do it. We got to, crap on the Cards, crap on the Niners, and it's going to be a little harder to crap on the Rams because they did indeed accomplish something last year or whatever.
I mean, at least they're the only team to have accomplished that particular feat within the division since the Seahawks have joined the division.
Yes.
I suppose that's what makes it easier with the other ones. It may be a little bit easier to deal with this particular team. When I look back, though, I was a little bit interested to see what the Seahawks record was overall against the Rams because
terrible. It's got to be terrible.
After going 2-8 over the last 10 games, you know, if there was a fireable offense for Pete Carroll, it would be the fact that he is 2-8 against the Rams in the last 10 games.
Yeah, that would be an indictment on his resume for sure. No doubt about it.
But the Seahawks still lead the series between these two teams. They are 25-24-0 against the LA Rams. So we've got a one game lead over the history of these two franchises.
I feel like we have to thank Holmgren for this at some point.
Yes, we do have to thank Holmgren. He's got to get into the Hall of Fame. He got He's a nominee for the Hall of Fame. How is the Big Show, Mike Holmgren, not already in the NFL Hall of Fame?
You stole the words right out of my mouth. When you said he wasn't in the Hall of Fame, I was like, wait, what? Are we sure? Like, for whatever reason in my head, I was thinking, of course Mike Holmgren's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
How is the Big Show not in the freaking Hall of Fame? That's insane.
Bill Cowher is in the Hall of Fame.
Already?
Yeah. They put him in because he's on TV. And remember when they were doing, like, they surprised Jimmy Johnson on TV. And they wanted to get all the TV people so they could get their reaction live on TV.
Right. Yeah.
And this isn't just a Seahawks thing. This is Mike Holmgren has some history in the NFL, people. It's not just the fact that he took the Seahawks to a Super Bowl and lost. It's no, he took the Green Bay Packers.
Won one with the Packers,
won multiples with the 49ers. Exactly. Was the guy who coached up Joe Montana and Steve Young. Kind of just a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah, he didn't come across the Big Show moniker accidentally. That's for sure.
No, it wasn't just from his Seahawks time.
So I love how we're doing the thing where we're talking about anything other than the Rams and the Know Your Rival stuff because we both can't stomach it. But when Holmgren goes into the Hall of Fame, which team does he go into the Hall of Fame under?
I don't think coaches have any kind of, well, even in the NFL, nobody has any kind of marking as to, it's not like in the major leagues.
Really?
In baseball, they have a hat, you know, their baseball hat. But for NFL players, when they go into the hall, they don't really have like,
they don't go in as a member of such and such team.
I don't think so.
Wow. How did I not know that? God, I'm an idiot. I genuinely didn't know that.
But he'd go in as a Seahawk.
You think?
Yeah. He still lives in Seattle. He's on Seattle radio. He's made it his home. I think he identifies more with the Seattle market.
And I know that, he definitely drives a car with Washington plates. I've seen that.
That's right. You got to give him a shout out at the gas station that one time.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't a shout out. I just gave him an up nod because the Big Show wasn't looking for conversation, I don't think. So,
Yeah. All right.
So, yeah. Catfishing Rams.
The Seahawks against the Rams, I gave the last 10 games since the Rams moved to LA, 4-9 against the Rams, one win in Los Angeles out of all that time.
It's so gross. It's so gross. And I'm so sick of it. And fortunately, the end is nigh. It's not this year, but I believe the year following will be the end of this iteration of the LA Rams.
It's going to take a year at least. It's a little bit of a slice of Seahawks history to think about that one win down in LA though, because they went down 10-0. They rallied with a touchdown pass to Jimmy Graham.
Right.
And ultimately won on 3 Blair Walsh field goals.
Was that the last time he made 3 in a row?
Probably.
Yeah.
Blair Walsh actually making field goal kicks in a game.
Yeah,
we have him to thank for that one win in LA.
Yeah. Hey, look, thanks, Blair. Appreciate it, man. I mean, the rest of the tenure wasn't great.
Thank you for the one win against the Rams. And thank you for allowing us to win the playoff game against the Vikings.
Right. Blair Walsh has been a great asset for the Seahawks over the years.
All right.
Yeah, it's just tough to talk about because the stupid Rams have reloaded yet again. Just brought everybody back, found money under the mattress to give Aaron Donald. I don't know how it all works. It's kind of ridiculous. I guess Whitworth retiring is maybe your best silver lining here.
As I was looking into this, there was quite a bit in terms of depth that they lost. But starting out with, yes, the one thing that the Rams did this offseason as a franchise, apart from paying their head coach, Sean McVay, apparently, but they paid the guys who got them there. On March 19th, they signed Matt Stafford to a 4-year, $160 million contract extension. On June 6th, they signed Aaron Donald to a 3-year, $95 million contract extension. And on June 8th, they gave Cooper Kupp a 3-year, $80 million contract extension.
Which of those three are the worst deal in your eyes?
The worst deal? Man, probably Donald, just because he is getting toward the the twilight of his career, I would say. With Stafford, I think the way that they structured it, the cap hit, it's actually a really low cap hit for this year and next year. And so the high cap doesn't kick in until the third year of that contract. And so if they're looking at maybe restructuring or cutting, or, you know, just it gives them time to see if Stafford is going to be able to keep it together for the next couple of years. I think it would be the Donald thing, but I don't have a problem necessarily with it, because just like Arizona paid Larry Fitzgerald way longer than they really needed to, I think you're paying for a little bit of past performance and being kind of the face of the franchise type guy.
Yeah, I think the Donald deal is fine. I think he can be an effective, good player for as long as he ever wants to. It just depends on what he decides, right? Mm-hmm. It sounded like he may be closer to retirement earlier in the offseason. Maybe that was all a big lie, and that's fine.
Aaron Donald is a big liar, so I think that that's probably accurate.
Yeah, you can call him whatever you'd like to call him. Mr. Donald is fine by me. I don't have a lot to say negatively about that gargantuan human being that could break both of us together like a twig with one pinky. But I think the Stafford deal is the one that I think is the worst of the three, because I don't see in 3 years, he's not a viable starter.
By the time he hits that third year. And plus, if you got to look at the way that the quarterback salaries are going. Shoot, we saw Kyler Murray become the second highest paid quarterback in the NFL. So if Kyler right now is making that amount of money, 3 years from now, one, that number is going to seem small when you get to 2024. And the dead cap hit, if they decide to get out of that contract, is probably going to seem small as well. Or maybe they restructure at that point. But still, in 2024, Stafford's 36.
Yeah.
So it's he's been in the league a long time.
Right. And super injury prone. Like the idea that Matt Stafford got through this last season, boy, everything just went the Rams way.
Their injury luck this past year and really last few years, it's just they've been having to deal with running back injuries. And that's something
which
that
might
they've
be
been
the
able
easiest,
to.
That might be the easiest position to deal with, right?
At least for the McVay offense.
Or any of the Shanahan-based stuff.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, Orlandis Gary was a 1,000-yard rusher at one point.
Look at the Niners. They bring in 8 guys in the offseason and just roll through them.
Yeah. So, no, they've been extremely lucky. That's why, heard it here first, there is a 0% chance that the LA Rams repeat as Super Bowl champions this year.
I wouldn't go straight zero. But I would go 0.01.
Okay, that's fair. I get that. Leave it a little wiggle room. I just don't see it. I don't think that it's going to be possible. Because if you really look back and you think upon it, like, how lucky were they to win that Super Bowl, just their playoff run? Really think about that.
Oh, especially the Super Bowl, though. What they were down, Odell Beckham gets injured. They're throwing the football to Cooper Kupp, who, for whatever reason, putting 4 or 5 guys on Cup in the second half of that game wasn't something that was going to work for the Bengals, because they had a dude named Skronik on the field that was the other go-to wide receiver toward the end of that game.
Right, right. And also, too, the fact that they played the Bengals at all in the Super Bowl, the fact that they didn't have to face the Mahomes, Chiefs, yeah, or the Bills, right, that year. They didn't face the best team in the AFC that year. They just didn't. I'm sorry, Bengals fans. You can be as mad at me as you want about that, but they weren't the best team in the AFC. They happened to make it through the playoffs. Then you go back, like the game against the 49ers, just because the safety, was it Tart, yeah, decided that he didn't want to catch the gift from Matthew Stafford late in the game. So they win that game. How about the game before that, when Tampa Bay had them all but beat and then just decided with a half a second left or whatever it was that, who guards Cooper Kupp in these situations? Not us. We're good.
They were fortunate, for sure.
They were fortunate. And I just don't believe that Matthew Stafford is going to be healthy throughout an entire year again. There's just no way.
I don't even look at it through that lens necessarily. I look at it as, yes, okay, this offseason, it's been maddening because they've given a bunch of money to Stafford, to Donald, to Kupp, and you're wondering, gosh, where do they get all this money? They signed Allen Robinson from the Bears to, and woo. I mean, yeah, I mean, but still, they have a pretty deep wide receiver core. Maybe they bring back Odell, maybe they don't, but they still have a lot of guys on the defensive line in terms of Leonard Floyd still under contract and Jalen Ramsey still on the roster. So they have these stars. They bring in Bobby Wagner, who this is the last time we're even going to mention that, but they lose a lot of depth because of these types of moves. They had Von Miller for that Super Bowl run.
Right.
And that was big. Robert Woods. Now, he wasn't part of that Super Bowl run because he was injured, but a big part of their offense these last few years. They traded him to the Titans. Right guard, Austin Corbett, goes to the Panthers. They can't afford to keep right guard. He's okay, but
he's fine.
That's going to be an impact.
He's a league average guard.
He's a league average guard. They're replacing him with a rookie. That's going to have an impact. Cornerback Darius Williams leaves for the Jags. He's been a solid corner opposite Jalen Ramsey. Sebastian Joseph Day, this is another one that the Rams run defense, a big part of that was because of Sebastian Joseph Day. And it's just one of those names of guys that you don't really think about. Oh, one of those big, you know, Al Woods type dudes in the middle of a defense. You know, most teams, that's not a big position of impact that you think about. But if the Rams can't stop the run, then that's going to have an impact on that defense. So
to further your point, in a lot of ways, of those names you just rattled off and the losses that they've had, I think Joseph Day is maybe the biggest. Like, as you kind of read through those names, like, he is an impact player. And like you said, you know, they're kind of anchor against the run and all that. I think that's actually a significant loss. Whereas the corner, I mean, he's fine. Corbett, he's fine. As far as Odell, I don't know. I mean, maybe Allen Robinson can give him 80% Odell. And I still think they might even bring Odell back.
It's just going to depend on when he's able to come back from that, one of his CLs being injured.
Yeah.
But you mentioned the biggest loss with Andrew Whitworth losing their left tackle. They move Joseph Noteboom, who they give a contract extension to this offseason. But that's going to be something to see as far as the Rams go. If Noteboom's going to be able to be that left tackle that they can count on.
Absolutely. And you kind of go through all that. That is the war of attrition that you end up losing once you win the Super Bowl. I mean,
guys, Johnny Hecker. They had to cut Johnny Hecker, the $2 million punter.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
He went to Carolina, I think.
I had no idea. Wow. Okay.
So see, special teams.
Special teams.
Impact.
They're important. Yeah. And you talk about those playoff wins, right? And what a fine line it was that they won those different playoff games throughout their run.
Mm-hmm.
And the culmination of all of those different guys leaving the team, that can be the difference between being a first round exit. I mean, I guess it wouldn't be a first round exit. They drubbed the shit out of the cards, but an early round exit as opposed to maybe winning a chip.
I mean, this team's still going to win the division.
Yeah, I think we all have to concede that.
Unless something really weird happens, like an injury early on in the season, or, you know, McVay decides to quit because he hasn't gotten his contract. And
he's not doing that.
He turned down $20 million from Amazon. And now they're asking about his contract because everybody kind of assumed that he did get paid because everybody else did.
Yeah.
Turns out, nope, still working on it.
Well, I'll tell you this, that $20 million from Amazon or Fox or ESPN or NBC, that will always be there for him. Always.
It would be so 25 or 30, though, if he didn't sound like he had just choked down a glass of broken glass before he talks.
Right. Yeah. And it's not endearing like the Mahomes. Like, it's not.
It's grown on me. Mahomes has grown on me.
I'm telling you, that's endearing. The Mahomes is totally endearing. Sean McVay, not so much.
Some news from the Rams here this past week. Their second year interior defensive lineman, Bobby Brown, suspended 6 games. They drafted a guy named Bobby Brown. And what do you know? He gets popped for substance abuse.
What round pick was he?
4th round.
Wasn't that their first pick of the draft last year?
They picked in the 3rd round in this year's draft. In 2021, when was their first pick?
Oh, no, I was thinking when I said last year, I mean this last draft.
This last draft.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they had Tutu Atwell in round 2 last year.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think they had a 3rd rounder this year. I think that was their guard that they hope to take over at right guard, Logan Bruss.
Gotcha. Yeah. We'll start to see if this trade away all your draft picks for the here and now thing eventually catches up to them. I thought that the Gurley and Goff signing would hamstring them for a lot longer than it did. That was kind of eye opening.
That was the talking point. Oh, if you're paying a quarterback over such and such percent of the salary cap, those teams, they never win the Super Bowl. Yet here they were able to pay Jared Goff, who wasn't even on their team, and Matt Stafford ended up being like 20% of their salary cap for 2 quarterbacks, and they were able to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and one didn't play for them.
Right.
Like you said. Yeah. Just crazy.
The percent of salary though, for Stafford this year it's relatively low still. And again, that goes to how they structured the contract. He's under 7% of their cap percentage in 2022.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
I don't see sustained success for Stafford there. Last year when they made the trade and all that, I definitely said that was a good move for them. A massive upgrade over Goff proved out to be the case, unfortunately. I just don't think that he's a guy that has the durability to put it together for back-to-back seasons. I just don't.
From the 48, a 48-yard field goal. It's long enough. It is up. And we have a tie ball game at the Coliseum in Los Angeles. As we head to the half, the Seahawks scrap their way back from a tough first quarter to tie this thing at 10 apiece. Holy smoke, what a job.
All right, well, let's take a look at the rest of the top 10. Let's look at the top 10 players that the Rams are paying right now. We've mentioned a lot of the names. Aaron Donald comes in at number 1, taking up 12% of their cap this year, cap hit of $24 million. Jalen Ramsey behind him, 23.2. Cooper Kupp, $17.8 million. Then, as I mentioned before, Matt Stafford at $13.5 million. Rounding out the top 5, right tackle, Rob Havenstein at 9.6-ish.
Do you need to wash out your mouth with soap after reciting all those names in a row like that?
A little bit.
Does it feel dirty?
all this Rams talk makes me feel dirty. Yeah. I'm going to shower after the show.
Yeah, like 3 times. God.
Up next in the top 5, they got A'shaun Robinson, defensive tackle, making $9.5 million. Tyler Higbee, their tight end, $8 million. Leonard Floyd.
He had a good year last year. Really did.
Yeah, he's actually, I feel like he's learned to catch a little bit better over these last couple seasons.
Yep, for sure.
Leonard Floyd did a contract restructure, so he's only making $8 million this year. Allen Robinson at 4.3, and Joseph Noteboom, $3.5 million cap hit. Notice I didn't mention a certain linebacker on this list, despite a reported 5-year, $50 million contract, which, you know, I'm not still salty that he's not on our team anymore.
So Bizarro Wagner, but we're going to call him Magner.
Magner.
Yeah. I wondered how much we would talk about this for this show, because we've kind of gone over.
I told you, I mentioned his name once and we weren't going to talk about it again.
I didn't know how you wanted to handle it, and I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that, because it sounds like Bobby doesn't like talking about it either. He's like, I didn't want to leave. This is BS.
Yeah, he's not making a whole lot of money to go there this year.
No.
It's frustrating.
It's super frustrating.
Looking at, let's look at the depth a little bit for this Rams team, because they've got Stafford at quarterback, running backs. They got Cam Akers, Daryl Henderson. I think it's going to hinge a little bit on how Akers is able to perform. They had a little bit of depth with Sony Michel, kind of giving him a spell through that playoff run. Daryl Henderson catching some passes in the Super Bowl. But like we've talked about, it's kind of been plug and play at running back. They haven't had to, they've been able to get through injury issues at that spot.
Right. I think Akers is going to have a little bit more of the struggles this year with all the changes on the offensive line, which I think also affects Stafford at the end of the day, too.
The offensive line is going to be the biggest question in terms of how it's going to impact the Rams offense. Now, I feel like McVay's been able to do a pretty good job, though, of designing plays that get the football out quick from Stafford's hands. So one, that helps Stafford stay healthy, where something that he wasn't able to do traditionally in Detroit. And that helps the passing game, but how it will impact the running game is going to be a bit of a different question.
I think if I was game planning for this next season with the Rams, I mean, I know Kupp is a deep threat. There's no doubt about it and all of that. But I'd make him beat me on deep shots all day. I would squat on all that quick stuff, be ready to stop the run, and then make them pass protect long enough to hit the deep shots. And that would be my formula for beating the Rams defensively this year.
So on the offensive line, they've got Note Boom at left tackle, David Edwards penciled in, left guard, Brian Allen at center.
I don't know either of those two guys.
Oh, Brian Allen, I think, is he's a veteran. They signed him to an extension here this offseason. I just didn't mention him because it was their center. Mm. But Logan Bruss, the draft pick at right guard, and Havenstein at right tackle. So yeah, that interior of the offensive line is the more questionable group.
Yeah. So here's my ridiculous prediction for this year. They beat them twice this year.
Really? This will be the year.
Yes. Yes. Because it is time for payback for all those years that the Rams were terrible under the Fisher era and would beat us for like no reason.
So now that Russ left, it's going to be it's going to be Drano Smock that gets the win over the Rams.
Yeah. 2-0 against the Rams this year. That is my outlandish, ridiculous homer prediction for this year.
Time for payback, jerks.
Yeah. It just feels right. And you stole Magner, you pieces of catfish.
Uh-huh. Yeah, the Magner curse. We got the Let's Ride curse, the Magner curse.
Ooh, yeah. We're cursing everyone. We need to come up with a Niners curse. How have we not?
We don't need a Niners curse.
They curse themselves.
Exactly.
Yeah. They like listening to our last episode. I know that.
I did notice we had a few Niners fans tune in, and that it tickled.
Here's the thing. Everything that we said, especially through that beginning part, just facts. Uh-huh. They are facts, and they are indisputable. I'm sorry to like those facts, but they are facts.
Yeah, we'll get into some of the comments in the second half of the show.
Yay!
But getting back to the Rams, it is the strength of their offense is their receiving group, especially with Kupp, the offensive player of the year last year. They bring in Allen Robinson, who can hopefully do an okay Odell impression. I like Van Jefferson. He's a good third. He's probably the fourth player after Higbee in terms of pass catchers, but
I'd say he's better than Allen Robinson.
I don't know if I'd say that, but
I think Allen Robinson is wildly overrated.
We're going to see. Now, I don't know how Robert Woods is going to come back from that injury, but I would rather have Robert Woods than Allen Robinson.
Yes, I would too.
So we'll see if that works out for Tennessee. Mm-hmm. On the defensive side of the ball, the strength, of course, in their defensive line with Aaron Donald, who's still an elite player. When is he ever going to not be elite? I hope this year is the answer to that question.
Yeah.
It's about time.
Yeah. I'm sure he's disappointed he doesn't have Russ to sack 13 times this year.
He's just going to mope around this year. He'll be like, well, I don't have Russ to sack anymore. I guess. Well, I mean, what's even the point?
What's the point of living?
He's got Greg Gaines next to him, A'shaun Robinson, who is wildly overpaid, Leonard Floyd, and their other edge rusher, Justin Hollins. That is a name that I am not familiar with.
You and me both, brother.
So see, that's what happens when you lose Von Miller. You have Justin Hollins taking over.
But if you're the Rams, would you have wanted to match that Bills contract?
No, if you're the Rams, you absolutely want to. You know you're coming toward the end with Stafford aging, with Donald aging. This is you're in win now mode. You pay as many of the guys as well as you can and roll with it.
You just load it up. I guess they are in that catfish the future we'll do whatever we want to win as much as we can now.
Obviously with the draft picks.
Yeah.
At linebacker, Ernest Jones, Magner, and in the secondary. Secondary could be an issue outside of Jalen Ramsey. They've got Troy Hill at corner, David Long Jr., and then at safety, Jordan Fuller, who's pretty decent. And then I don't know who's going to be the strong side between Taylor Rapp, Nick Scott.
Some guys that are just guys.
This is why depth is an issue. You lose Ramsey, really you lose Donald, something crazy happens.
Right.
And all of a sudden, that defense is looking pretty rough.
You would think so. They're like two injuries away this year to relative stars from maybe ride the struggle bus for the whole year.
And then I don't know who wins the division. Maybe the Seahawks do at 9-8.
I mean, it's possible. I think it's interesting because the NFC West has probably been the best division in football for the last 2 years, right?
Uh-huh.
It could be one of those rando flip years. Because I genuinely see struggles on the horizon for the Niners. I genuinely see struggles on the horizon for the Cards. The Rams were the one team where you're like, well, I mean, they're pretty good.
They've had good injury luck. So you feel like you can just pencil them in for 11, 12 wins.
But one bad injury luck year for them, and all of a sudden, Sean McVay looks like Kyle Shanahan.
Well, should we run down the schedule and take a look and see where the potential losses could be for this LA Rams team?
Okay.
You're not going to give me a kind of prediction of how things are going to go, like before I even have a chance to flip to it?
Win, win, win. Loss, win, win. Bye week. I don't know when their bye week is. I just make this catfish up as I go. Loss, 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 win. Loss, loss. I don't even know how many games that is. All the losses at the end are because there's a couple injuries in there.
Holy crap. I think you nailed the bye week.
Is that three times in a row?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I got a good gut sense of that, I guess. I don't know.
All right. They start off the season Thursday night football against the Buffalo Bills at SoFi Stadium. That's going to be a fun game.
That actually might be a loss.
It could be. I mean, I'm rooting for it to be a loss. I'm rooting for a lot of these to be losses, though, so I feel like that's redundant.
Sure, of course. I root for 0-16 for them. There's no doubt about it. Or 0-17 now. Sorry. Jeez, that's going to get hard. Yeah.
That's okay. Give it five more years, and we'll stop referring. Once we stop referring to the San Diego Chargers as the San Diego Chargers, then the record thing will kick in.
Okay. Because I felt like this was the year that I was going to have the LA Chargers correct.
You're going to have that worked out. It's
yeah.
You need a grace period of, I don't know how many years it's been, four.
Yeah, exactly. I knew it wasn't going to be easy.
It's okay. I still call it the NFC Central. And how long has that been?
Yeah. I mean, that's half of our adult life, or that's pretty much our entire adult life. It's been that way.
Uh-huh. It slips in every now and then.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So a loss that will probably be a win just because it's at home. They're all hyped up.
That's a coin flip game.
But then they play the Falcons and the Cardinals. So those do seem like wins.
Yep.
Then I think you had three wins and then a loss.
Yes.
Which would make sense because they're playing at San Francisco in week four.
Right. Yeah. No, that does make sense.
They always lose to the Niners.
I had loss and then a rebound win.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So three and one through the first four games of the schedule. Then two more wins against the Cowboys and Panthers to go into the bye at 5-1.
Yeah, that's exactly. I think that's what I had.
They come out of the bye. Did you have a win? You had a win coming out of the bye? No.
Loss.
San Francisco 49ers coming out of the bye.
Yeah. That feels right.
At Tampa. The following
loss.
Week.
I had that as a loss, too.
There we go.
I had like four losses in a row.
So 5-3 through the first eight games.
Yeah.
Cardinals, Saints, the next two weeks here. So they're back up to 7-3.
There's no way the Cardinals win that game.
Yeah.
But the Saints might have Kamara back and, you know, who knows? Who knows with them? You can tell me anything about the Saints.
They're a mystery this year.
They'll be kind of fun.
All right, 7-3 going into the last seven games of the season. They still have yet to play the Seattle Seahawks.
That's two losses, remember?
Two losses. Yeah, that's right.
Football karma, baby.
Okay, so they start off those last seven games at Kansas City.
That's a loss because Stafford's injured.
Stafford's injured. Everybody, Aaron Donald ate too much for Thanksgiving, so he's kind of slow.
Oh, it doesn't matter against the Mahomes. Mahomes will eat him up.
Then they play Seattle, and loss. That's going to be in LA. Okay, so they fall to 7-5.
Yep.
Playoff hopes looking a little bit dim. No, they're just fine. They're in the driver's seat at 7-5 in the NFC West at this point.
By two games.
Then they play Las Vegas at home. You know, speaking of teams, I have not had a hard time transitioning with the Raiders being in Vegas.
Yeah, true enough. Maybe it's because they've been a transient franchise our entire life.
That could be. I probably jinxed myself. I'm going to start calling them the LA Raiders now.
Probably.
What did you say? Win?
Loss.
Loss to the Raiders?
Yeah.
Okay.
But the Raiders are winning the AFC West. It's either them or the Chargers. I don't know.
I don't think I'm with you on this one, but we'll move on. That would be what?
Stafford's still hurt. He's out for the rest of the year.
We don't predict injuries. That's bad karma.
That's the history of Matt Stafford. I'm not rooting for him to get hurt. He's a nice guy. I don't want him to feel physical pain at all. He doesn't deserve it.
So 7-6, and then they're at Green Bay.
Loss. Aaron Rodgers gets his revenge, finally.
7-7. We're going to have him not having a winning record?
Yeah, why not? Catfish him! Catfish him so hard! I hate him.
Now, give him the win over the Raiders, or else this is really going to feel off.
I would give him the win over the Packers before I did the Raiders.
Well, we'll say that those are both coin flip games, and so they win one, lose one.
There you go.
So then they're going into the last three games, 17 minus. I really struggle with the 17 game schedule and balance, especially when you get late in the
everything
year.
Up. Yeah.
So 8-5 going into the final three games.
Okay.
They get the Broncos at home.
Please win that game, but they won't because they're just dicks like that.
Please win that game, and then they'll be... Look, we've already conceded the division to them, so we may as well get the benefit of them beating the Broncos on Christmas Day. That's a gift to us from the Rams.
I would love it if that would happen, but I know how this crap works.
They're going to ruin our Christmas.
They always do. I'm going to say it's a loss, only out of because of spite from them.
I'm losing track. I'm saying it's a win. They're 9-5 at Los Angeles, which really is just a home game between both these teams. Yeah. Well, it's not an exhibition. It counts for something.
No, it doesn't.
They're playing the Chargers. It's a road game for them, but it's actually a home game for them both.
The LA Chargers haven't had a home game in 4 years.
How is that? I feel like the Chargers are going to, they're kind of becoming a hot team just as the Rams will be kind of on their descent. So
yeah.
will all the LA residents who are Rams fans just flip their car flags over to be Chargers fans?
Oh yeah. I mean, they're all like reversible, right?
As Herbert ascends. Yeah.
Right.
Stafford declines.
Deteriorates. Yeah.
I'm going to give them a win there because they close out the season against Seattle. We've already said that we're winning both those games.
Yes.
That leaves them at 10-7, I think.
That feels about right.
Good enough to win the division, but enough to where people outside of where people in the national circles are saying, geez, what happened to the NFC West this year that the Rams are 10-7 and yet they're the ones leading and everyone else has got a subpar record.
Headlines. What is wrong with the LA Rams?
Perfect. Mm-hmm. And then they lose in the first round of the playoffs. Maybe second.
Yes. Yes. No, nope, first round to first Tom
round,
Brady.
First round loss. There we go.
Because Genghis Tom is probably going to win it all again this year.
I feel like that was a sufficient way to recognize the Super Bowl champions. Oh,
you keep saying it. I'm not repeating it.
I'm surprised it got all the way out before I stopped myself.
Yeah.
We've sufficiently recognized them, though, but also crapped on them along with the other two NFC West teams.
Yeah. No, I think we did a good job. And as we headed into the second half of the show here, I think we just sum up the first half of the show with
catfish,
you Rams,
catfish,
you Sean McVay,
catfish,
all of you. I hate you so much.
And here we go.
I do use probably too much gel, but you know what? Consistency is the truest measurement of performance, as we like to say. I'm consistently throwing about half of my gel in my hair, and I'm going through a lot of bottles every week.
I was listening to another Rams podcast here recently.
Oh, God. Were you in trouble? Was this part of a prison sentence or something? What did you do wrong?
I feel like I need to do a little bit of research to find out what are some of the questions that Rams fans have about their own team. That way we can really emphasize them when we talk about it on our show as essentially being the downfall of the franchise.
Please God, have them be questions similar to the Niners fans' questions of like, is Trey Lance closer to Lamar Jackson or Jesus?
Well, this was the title that got me. Are the Los Angeles Rams getting the respect a Super Bowl champ should?
You know, I guess if you are a Rams fan and a big fan of the LA area, you're probably an attention-seeking type of person. Uh-huh. So maybe you're not getting as many attaboys as you would have hoped. That must be it.
I think part of it is because they look at this year and people are still looking at Tom Brady as being the dominant quarterback and saying they have the shot at really being the NFC champion.
Yeah.
And then everybody else is talking about AFC teams with Mahomes and Allen and
Lamar. Right. Go down the list. Yeah. Joe Burrow.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Russ.
Most of them are on the most of them are in the AFC now.
Mahomes, all that. Yeah. I think that is probably a prudent thing for the media to do. I think that is the correct place to put your attention. The NFC is not as strong as the AFC this year.
I think the disrespect could come in to the point to where everybody, you know, we see them hyping the Eagles for whatever reason and the Cowboys, God, maybe, so you know, the East probably getting more attention than it should.
It always does.
I know.
Yeah,
so that's where Eagles you could see as so a Rams weird. Fan wondering why they're not getting the respect, because I feel like more emphasis goes toward the East Coast teams.
I don't want to hear that catfish from Rams fans. The way that the media has fawned over their catfish franchise for the last however many years since they moved to L.A. Yeah. Like, oh, we're not getting enough attention. Nobody loves us enough for the Super Bowl that we bought. God, I can't stand them.
There we go. Why didn't we bring that in the first 10 minutes of the show? That way we could get the Rams fans to tune out. Well, the Rams fan who tuned in to tune out within the first 10 minutes.
Because we totally reverse psychology'd them. Like, made them think that, yeah, you know, okay, fine. We obviously don't like your team, but we have to begrudgingly acknowledge whatever it was that you did last year. And just get them to continue on through the show until they got to that part of the show. And now their delicate sensibilities have been assaulted.
Now they're like, oh, I've made it this far, but now I'm tuning it out. This is outrageous.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Screw you guys.
I'm going to write a comment, a strongly worded one.
I mean, screw you, one guy. I guarantee you we don't get any comments from any Rams associated person on the YouTube this week.
I guarantee it does not happen.
We'll probably have more people who are upset about the disrespect that Seahawks, the franchise, is getting. Because as I see the tickets to the Germany game were immediately sold out and are now on the secondary market from anywhere from $800 to $7,000. Although I did see somebody ridiculously list tickets at like $30,000. But $800 to $7,000 on maybe the realistic prices. Oh, I guess I did see some nosebleed sections that were as low as $619 a ticket.
You know, it's interesting, like the demand seems exponentially higher for the game in Germany than any of the games in London somehow.
Yeah. And I think where I was going to play the disrespect card is everybody's attributing this to Tom Brady when it's clearly our German Seahawks fans.
Hey, there's a lot of people that don't understand how popular the Seahawks are in Germany. We've heard it from multiple listeners, most of the European listeners, because of the big base there. They got USO broadcast, is that what it is?
AFN, Armed Forces Network. Yeah,
okay, like, yeah, whatever it is, AFN. yeah, okay. Yeah, they grew up with that stuff, and so they heard a lot of Seahawks games, which is crazy. But there's a lot more Seahawks fans there than I think most people realize.
Yeah, and I think the draw for Seahawks fans to go to this game is the fact that, you know, get to see Tom Brady in the twilight of his career.
Sure.
Get to see our team crush him.
Absolutely. Why not?
It was a struggle for tickets, though. I've talked to one person. I talked to Alex, who was able to get two tickets, but two tickets in separate.
How'd he do it?
Well, they got single tickets. And so they were like 50,000 on the waiting list. So they got in, quote unquote, relatively early, but they were only looking for single tickets and they just took them. And so two tickets, but in separate parts of the stadium. And that was the one person that I talked to that had success.
Wow. Yeah. We kind of got boned out on that.
Everybody did.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it was scalpers that had their ticket robots set up to snipe everything. I guess it was a 6-ticket limit, able to gobble those up somehow. But if you are in Germany, wait it out. Wait it out, and as the game gets closer, those ticket prices hopefully should come down.
Or they'll go up.
One or the other, right?
Yeah.
That's how the stock market works, too.
Exactly. You can't guess or know, man.
Well, it could make our decision easy on whether or not to go to that game.
Yeah, it looks to be shaping up a certain way, that's for sure. What other news is out there? Oh, we didn't talk about... the killer Kyler contract.
Yeah. Kyler Murray. Finally, he gets his deal from the Cardinals, but doesn't get as much as... See, this is the thing that Deshaun Watson has done. By getting that contract from the Browns, now everybody's got to compare that to Watson. And is it a big deal that Murray didn't get more?
More guaranteed, yeah. I think the rest of the league is giving Steve Keim a phone call and being like, dude, thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah.
5-year extension, $230.5 million, $160 million in guarantees.
But it's too much for Kyler Murray. If you were to compare the Dak contract to Kyler's, which would you say is the better or worse of the two?
I'd rather have Dak at his contract, if that's what you're asking.
That's exactly what I'm asking. And I don't think that was a great... That's a contract that is going to hinder them from winning a Super Bowl.
It's going to be tough. I don't know if the contract hinders them from winning the Super Bowl so much as the actual quarterback that they have.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You're paying a guy who's a top 15 to 10 quarterback in the league.
Yeah. I put him outside the top 10.
So would I. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. 10 to 15, okay. Somewhere in there. And I think you're looking at Kyler in... He has moments of top 5 quarterback play, but then he also has moments of go play baseball. And with his stature and his injury history, if I had been the owner of the Arizona Cardinals, I'd have made him play out his contract and or trade him. There's no way I would give him franchise quarterback money. Never.
It makes sense, though, that he was the one to go now, because now Lamar can be the next one in line to get his deal.
I don't think he wants to.
You don't think he wants to be the Ravens quarterback?
I think he wants to play out this next year and get an even bigger deal. Yeah, I think that's what he's doing. I think he's betting on himself.
Maybe. He may do that.
I'm not saying it's a good idea. I'm just saying what...
It might even be an okay idea. It's worked out pretty well for Kirk Cousins.
True.
And the way these salaries are going, they're only going up.
It's funny because I looked at the Kyler numbers. What is he getting, like 45 a year?
Yeah, he's the second highest paid on average, and it's 46.1 per year.
If Broncos fans think that at the end of next season, Russ isn't asking for something around the $55 to $60 million a year total, you are crazy.
I've already seen people responding to the Kyler tweets, especially, you know, pointing it out to Broncos fans that Russ is going to cost more. And there are still fans who think, oh, well, Russ is a team guy. He won't take that much more.
Yeah, okay then. Yeah, we'll see how that works out for y'all.
Yeah, historically, Broncos fans, go take a look at what Russ has asked for in terms of contract and ask if he has been a team guy when it's come to getting his money that he's owed.
No, that's the long and short answer of that one. And yeah, so good luck with that. Y'all are Rocky Mountain High if you think that he's going to give you guys some sort of hometown discount.
So it's clearly the strategy that the Seahawks front office is taking. They've probably saw this coming in terms of contract salaries now.
For sure.
Now, maybe they didn't expect Watson to get quite an insane amount from the Browns, but
yeah, I don't think anybody did.
Can you field a team and have a competitive advantage in terms of having all of that salary cap space there to use for other places on the team? Can they use that to build another incredible defense that allows them to do what they want with running the football and distributing the ball to the guys like DK and Tyler? Is it going to work?
We're about to find out.
Yeah, I feel like we kind of got lucky to get that kind of defense together that Pete Carroll was able to build.
Oh, the LOB? No, for sure. It's not just being awesome at being a GM, being able to put together a defense like that. There is an element of luck involved. Now, what percentage of that, it can all be debated, but it's probably like being 80-85% good at your job and then just having 20-15%. You know, good fortune throughout that.
Well, I think I was hearing somebody put it to the idea of comparing it to baseball, and a good hitter in baseball bats around 300.
Yeah.
And so if you're a GM and you're batting around 300 with your draft picks,
I think you need to be batting around 50% on your draft picks.
It depends on how you measure success with your draft picks, because yeah, when you get to seventh round guys and you're just filling out special teams and having complimentary players, then yeah, if you're including those instead of looking at starters or things like that.
No, and there's a debate to be had there how you decide what is a success for each and every draft.
Yeah, we have it every year. We're going to figure out a really good solution for determining that success sometime soon. And it's maybe probably, that's what makes us our money, right?
Yeah, maybe that's our niche, man, is we become the preeminent draft graders because of a superior system of how to define success in the draft.
Yeah, we can tell you, is your GM good at drafting?
Right.
And just how good?
Exactly.
Come to us. We'll be your consultants.
Absolutely. What do we charge an hour?
It's got to be a lot. Or just a flat fee, a flat consultation fee, $500,000 each per team.
At least.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
There we go.
Maybe $2.5 million over 2 years. That'd work for me.
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
In the meantime, though, we've got our flock, Adam.
Exactly. Now, while they can't pay us a millionaire kind of money, it's nice that they allow us to be hundredaires.
Uh-huh.
That's great. Yeah.
Starting off with our executive producers, DCH, Dustin Mock, Brian Shaw, and Rebecca Christensen. I didn't even have them on my sheet. I just know those four names from memory.
Yeah. I mean, that order of names, it haunts my dreams. Like, that's how ingrained it is in my life.
Not haunts your dreams. It enhances your dreams.
Oh, that's better. Yeah. Thanks for saving me. Appreciate it.
We got new members of the flock, starting with Maurice Palsherm, who came in at 36 euro.
That's awesome.
Do we have a note here? I
don't know if I do. Does everybody call him Maurice, or do some people call him Maurice?
That's like a throwback, what, Paul Simon song?
I want to say,
how
it's
old
like
are you?
Eagles or something like that. Yeah.
Some people. Oh, no, it's Steve Miller Band.
There it is. Yep.
Eagles era.
You know, the funny part is the reason why that popped out is that while sitting around the campfire last night with the neighbors, that song actually popped up.
And you thought, you know, I should go by the Gangster of Love.
Dude, I've been going by the Gangster of Love. Are you not giving me my recognition?
I mean, some people call you the Gangster of Love, but yeah, not right. Everybody, including me.
No.
I'm not one of those.
No. Yeah. Some people call me Maurice.
Welcome to the flock to Maurice. Maurice probably not even old enough to know or have no idea who the Steve Miller Band is.
Or he might, because he's awesome. So who knows? Steve Miller Band is the soundtrack of summer. Like 4th of July.
It is, but maybe not in Europe is what I'm saying.
Well, why wouldn't it?
Because Maurice is in, Deutschland. Verl Deutschland.
Are you trying to say that Steve Miller Band isn't huge in Deutschland?
I mean, they're no David Hasselhoff.
Who is?
Ben King came in at $60 for the year. So yeah, Maurice coming in with the annual donation. Ben King also in with the annual donation of $60.
Damn. Thanks, Ben. Appreciate it, man.
Thank you, Ben. If you send a note, I don't see it. So same with Maurice.
Yeah. Try again if we missed it. Yeah.
Oh, Ben coming in from Switzerland. How about that?
Heck yeah, man.
Nice. Hey, US listeners, where are you at?
That's exactly right. You are getting showed the catfish up by the people from the EU. How does that feel? Thought you were good Americans. Come on. Where's your pride?
Yeah. Hey, economy's bad everywhere, not just the US.
That's exactly right. In fact, somehow the dollar is strong despite our inflation, which means their inflation's even worse, supposedly, or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. So no excuses.
All right. Enough of the guilt trip. Thanks to whoever gave us a 1,200 sat boost on their podcast app of choice. I think it's the Fountain podcast app that allows you to support shows based on the amount of time you listen, but you can also send boosts. And this person sent an anonymous boost of 1,200 Satoshis.
What does that mean?
I've told you in the past, Satoshis are a fraction of a Bitcoin.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah.
Got it. No, that's awesome, man. I appreciate the anonymous money laundering. This is great.
How do you know it's money laundering?
It's an anonymous person sending Satoshis to two dork chops in Montana.
And 1,200, obviously. Like we say, whatever number is right meaningful to you.
Who knows? Maybe in 5 years, those will be worth 33.
I have it put away. I'm not touching the Bitcoin that comes in. So
yeah, no, leave that. That might be our savior when it's all said.
When if the thing falls through with the consultation with the draft and grading general managers, we'll have the anonymous donations of Bitcoin to fall back on.
Yeah, to fall back on. Exactly. What could go wrong? We have a solid life plan ahead of us.
Mark McGuire, who joined last show, I missed the note, but it's probably more appropriate to read on this show anyway. It says, hey, I want to apologize for being a freeloader, but I'm here now. You guys are great. I'm from the land of the lambs, and I can't stand their quote-unquote fan base. It is a joke here in SoCal. Anyways, appreciate y'all, and go Hawks.
Go Hawks, Mark. Man, move. Just move. It's just not worth it. It can't be worth it.
It's worth it enough to where he's supporting the show. So stay where you're at, Mark.
Well, I think he could do that from anywhere in the country that he doesn't have to deal with the Lambs fans.
I'm just saying, I'm not going to go there in terms of, because the weather's good down there.
Yeah. Look, I can't argue against that. I really can't. I understand that aspect of it.
Yeah. But it's a heat wave everywhere. But yet in Southern California, there's been, I don't know who made the deal, but it's always really nice weather. I don't know how they did it.
No, it's great weather. I get all that. But you also have to be around that quote unquote fan base.
Right.
Is it worth it? I'd rather maybe layer up.
We're also overdue to thank our $12 members and above. We're going to do that at the end of the show. YouTube comments. YouTube comments were fun this past week.
Yeah, all right.
The Vet 49 letting us know the reason they still have Jimmy is because he had shoulder surgery and it's just barely started throwing 2 weeks ago. Okay, Niners man.
Keep
telling yourself that. Yeah. The thing I like the most about the particular comments, and this went for a lot of the Niners fans who commented on the last episode. No commentary about our questions around the issues of offensive line or secondary. No commentary about our record prediction being wildly off. No, Jimmy hasn't been traded because he's recovering from surgery. That's the one comment after you listen to the show you took the most exception with. And here's the thing. Yeah, he held off on having surgery until after the combine when all the general managers were doing a good portion of their trade talks ahead of the new league year or the league new year, as Adam likes to call it.
Now you got it. Yeah.
You know, releasing him because of a failed physical, it's it's the least that the Niners could do for Jimmy. And according to Pro Football Talk, they save $600,000 if they wait and release him, that if he's declared healthy after surgery. It's like a $1.2 million cap hit if they release him after he's declared healthy, and a $1.8 million cap hit. So it's less than $2 million to just go ahead and release him in terms of your cap hit.
Yeah. No, it's only because of the surgery. It's not just, because they don't believe in
the surgery and the injury. He hasn't been able to throw yet.
Yeah. It has nothing to do with the fact that they're not totally sold on football Jesus. I mean, Trey Lance.
Nothing to do with that. No, it's they're really trying to get a draft pick out of this deal, even though
even though
no team is going to pay him $25 million to trade for him.
Absolutely not. No, never.
So the only thing that the Niners could hope to do by waiting is to pay a portion of his contract so they can get a higher draft pick out of the deal. Buying a draft pick, essentially.
Right. And is it going to be higher than a fifth?
It depends on how much money of his salary they want to pay.
So let's look at it like legitimately, right? So Baker just went to the Panthers and his salary was what, like 15 million, 16 million, something like that for this year. And the Browns had to pay half of that, which is $10 million less than what Jimmy's making. Mm-hmm. The Browns had to pay half of that and still only got a fifth for a player that's similarly, that's a hard word to say, similarly productive to Jimmy.
Yeah. For example, for the Niners, would they pay $20 million of his salary next year so they could get a second or third round draft pick? You're paying for the draft pick. So how much do you pay for the draft pick?
Who's paying a second or a third for Jimmy G?
No, you're paying
at this point. No. What team?
Because why wouldn't you just wait and release him and then you can keep your draft pick and then you can pay him less?
Exactly. Like, why are you doing the Niners favors? And this is the same with the Panthers in the Baker thing. I still don't understand what they did there.
I think paying five for him is reasonable, and they only had to give up a fifth. If you're talking fifth, sixth, seventh round picks, I think that's just cost of doing business to make sure you get the guy that you want.
You didn't have to give up any picks.
Well, you're giving up picks so you don't have to compete on the open market.
What open market?
I don't know. The Cowboys might want Baker as a backup quarterback and they only want to pay him five. And maybe Baker sees that as a better option. I don't know.
I don't understand bailing out the Browns in any way for their poor decision making. And that would be a little bit like what's going on here with San Francisco. Like, why bail them out? I don't think there's a team that's going to do it, especially for a guy who has massive limitations throwing outside the numbers and has an enormous injury-prone history.
Yeah. D-Wish Niner Gang checked in, said, I'm going to help y'all out by dropping this comment.
But catfish!
LOL, that opening dialogue between you two was impossible to get through. I was going to try and listen, but I can't even do it. I'm out.
Well, I'm real sorry that facts, logic, and reason are difficult for you to deal with. But I went back and listened to the first, like, 3 minutes just to be like, well, geez, what in the world did we actually say? Like, I wondered if we were way off the rails there for a minute or whatever.
I didn't even have to go back and listen. I knew we were talking about our dominance over the Niners for a good 5 minutes.
Right. And the just true fact that every time Shanahan has a good year, it's followed by two bad years. That is just a fact. And it is indisputable. And I'm sorry you don't like it, but it is what it is.
That's okay. D-Wish Niner Gang will hear this because they'll tune back in. They'll want to hear our thoughts about the Rams.
They might.
And Noah Fernandez said, these guys have the nerve to talk
catfish
it with Drew Locke as their quarterback.
Catfish!
And right, we do. What else are we going to do? We got Drew Lockett as our quarterback. Like, what?
That's all we have, like, is to talk catfish about our rivals. That's what we have left.
Exactly. Yeah. What else do you expect?
Noah says, I'd laugh my ass off if Jimmy gets released and he's got to Seattle after these guys bashed him.
He's not coming to Seattle. No, but we don't want Jimmy G.
He'll be super handsome sitting on the bench behind Drew. We'll have goofy Drew and handsome Jimmy.
Bench?
Yeah. If Noah's nightmare scenario turns out and we end up having to root for him somehow, Noah's going to think it's funny. I'll join you. I think that's funny too.
Oh, that would be funny because it'd be a giant
catfish
joke.
Jacob Haas. So now we're back to our people.
Yeah.
Jacob Haas. Jacob's checking
a frequent commenter. Yeah. Absolutely.
Going back to the nuts debate, I can't give my opinion, for as I have any type, I am immediately hospitalized. On another note, Brandon doesn't like bananas in a smoothie. Bananas are a top tier fruit. You can make bread out of it, add some ice cream, boom, banana split. There's even banana pudding. Add some chocolate, then you're really golden.
Facts. Absolutely. Yeah. You don't like bananas because you're a communist.
I said, commie. Look, bananas, he's talking about adding ice cream to bananas, adding chocolate to bananas. Like, you're adding good food to subpar food to make it good food.
a straight up banana is tasty.
Look, top tier fruit makes top tier pie. And is there anything other than banana cream? And, you know, that's one of the pies that, I don't know.
Is there multiple iterations of apple pie? Like, there's banana cream pie, and then, like, there's not, like, apple crunch delight or something. It's just all apple pie.
You can mix other fruits in together, and it's good.
You can do that with banana.
With banana cream,
you're way off on your banana.
It's still not even a top five pie. It's like, if it's the one left and you're craving pie, you still have to think about it, of ordering it.
No way. Yes, banana cream is absolutely a top five pie.
That's not a top tier pie. And it's not even anti-banana. I said I like banana chips.
You are.
And I do like banana bread and banana muffins. But
no, you don't. Now you're just lying. You hate bananas. We're trying to hide it.
No, I'm fine with bananas. Although it is kind of strange that banana bread and banana muffins, that you actually make them with rotting bananas.
Yeah. What other fruit can you intentionally rot and then turn into?
No, it's not intentional. You have to wait for it to rot before it's good.
Yeah, that's intentional.
I don't think that makes it good. I don't think that you're helping your argument with this.
I'm just saying, like, you can't intentionally rot a cantaloupe and then make something good out of it.
You wouldn't want to.
That's my point. Bananas are good when they're good, and they're good when they're bad.
They're okay when they're good, and you have to wait for them to be bad to make them into something good.
You're way off on your banana take.
Christopher from Germany checks in, says, "Dear Brandon and Adam, since it's list season, I thought I would contribute with my top five nuts list. How can you not have pistachios in your top five?"
Oh, dude, big whiff.
We whiffed on that.
100%.
Yeah. My top five would be 1 pistachios, 2 cashews, 3 peanuts, 4 walnuts, 5 sunflower seeds. The only downside to pistachios is that they are very expensive here in Germany, which is probably a lot different in the U.S. I don't think it is.
I don't think so.
I also really like peanuts in crust with paprika powder. Knickknacks. No idea if you have that brand in the U.S. Anyway, keep up the great work with the pod. I'm looking forward to the new episode every week.
Catfish!
Lambs, whiners, and sharts. Greetings from Germany, Christopher, a.k.a. Beast Mode 24.
So Christopher's 100% right there. Although I've never heard of putting paprika on your peanuts. No. And out of all the spice names, is paprika. Not the most fun spice name to say.
Oh, yeah. You can put the emphasis in different places. But pistachios, probably because it's rich people nuts, like Christopher referred to.
right. Let's stay with the slum nuts. Like, that's where we
belong. Yeah, it's weird that the people who can afford pistachios, like, that didn't come to mind. It's obvious why we missed it.
Yeah. Yeah. Poor.
What other nuts do rich people enjoy that we might be leaving off the list?
Hard tell or not knowing. I've never been rich.
But pistachios are good when you can get them. P.S. Very sad. I won't be able to meet you in Munich as I couldn't get tickets for the game. But hey, at least many bots got them and are now selling them for thousands of euros on eBay.
Yeah, I feel your pain there, Christopher, because, we were asked out too.
I need a ticket robot. I need to get one of those.
Can't you just, like, because they're not like a physical robot, right? Like, they're just a program.
I want mine to be physical, though. No, it's just a program on your computer.
If you were to get a robot for yourself, would you want it on tracks, wheels, or be able to walk?
So tracks, like in Short Circuit.
Yep.
Like Johnny Five.
Exactly.
On wheels, like, what was
Rosie
the one
from
in
the
Rocky?
Jetsons.
Oh, Rosie. Yeah. Okay. So we want Rosie or Johnny. What other options do I have?
Walking.
Oh, just like data.
Like spot the terrifying robot dog from whatever Design Corp, with Dynamic, whatever they call themselves.
Or Terminator. Arnold yes. Schwarzenegger.
Exactly.
Hmm.
Or you can go with Data. Like, that's a little nicer.
Yeah, but that's... I'm trying to determine the distinction between robot and android.
I don't think there is one.
Okay. For the sake of this argument, we will not try and identify the fine line between robot and android.
That's right. Turns out we are not cybernetic experts.
Yeah. The Terminator was a cybernetic organism.
Correct.
Hmm. I think I like wheels. I want Rosie.
You go with wheels?
Yeah. Going with Rosie from the Jetsons. See,
I thought about this a lot while you were kind of working through it. And walking would be the most advantageous because you could get around more obstacles easier. Right? Yeah. Like, you're more of an all-terrain unit at that point.
Are you saying Rosie couldn't get up a flight of stairs?
No. Without jostling the hell out of her, like, you know, computer boards and stuff. So I think there's an advantage to walking. However, it's so catfishing creepy that I don't think I could have that in my life. It is so creepy. So I think I'd go with tracks because I think the tank is much more adept at getting to where it needs to go no matter what the terrain.
Having Johnny Five around your property would be the best situation.
Man, I would love to have a Johnny Five running around here. Some trespasser comes up here, you know, you'd be like, "Hey, Laser Lips, your mama was a snowblower."
If you haven't watched that movie with your kids, you've got to go back and do it.
You're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
You're doing it wrong. Yeah.
80s movies. My daughter, 80s movies you have to watch with your kids. Back to the Future, Ghostbusters, Short Circuit.
Yep. Goonies.
There's got to be.
Although my daughter was not a Goonies fan.
No?
No.
Hmm. Princess Bride.
Thought it was
round
cheesy.
Up the five with Princess Bride.
She did like Princess Bride. You're right.
There we go. There's your top five movies for kids from the 80s.
Here we go. List season is upon us, like we've talked about. So on my last work trip, my buddy Alec and I were talking about what was the better movies decade, the 80s or the 90s?
Ooh.
I think this is a slam dunk.
In totality, I think I would go with the 90s because you have...
Like, it's easy.
Yeah. Pulp Fiction, you got Forrest Gump, you got...
We were watching Tin Cup. And
yeah.
It's a beautiful, Gilmore. Perfect
movie. Was
Happy
movie. Gilmore in the 90s or 2000s?
90s.
Okay.
There's so many bangers from the 90s. And I'm not saying the 80s didn't have them. I'm just saying there's a greater quantity of solid movies from the 90s.
Yeah.
That still hold up.
Some of those 80s movies hold up well, too. I mean, you have...
Very few.
Yeah. Star Wars was better in the 80s than the 90s.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you're a Star Wars fan and you had to pick one, like a decade, Star Trek movies better in the 80s?
No.
No?
Well, okay. I guess you got Wrath of Khan in there. But the whale one was an abomination.
That's the best one.
Yeah, we've talked about this.
All right. How to do better and better at life.
My do better this week is for the freaking Madden game. Because they are just throwing out disrespect left and right, and square in the disrespect crosshairs is our quarterback, man. That's my quarterback, Geno Smith. Geno Smith gets a 60 rating, a 60.
60.
A 60. Did they not watch anything that he did last year? Like, he's at least a 65 to 70 rating player. It is an absolute travesty that
you have
they
to go
rated.
To page seven to find Geno Smith on the list of Madden quarterbacks.
Wow, page seven? Damn.
And how many are on here? How long is this list? Five. Well, there's about 10 to a page. So they have him in the top 70.
I mean, just that is so disrespectful for a guy that actually played okay when he came in this last year. He tweeted out to Madden, and apparently Chad Ochocinco, who contributed to this, and just something about like the disrespect of being at 60, and there's guys who haven't even thrown an NFL pass rated higher than him, and he's like, that's fine, just use it as fuel, basically. So to Madden, for screwing with half of the Dreno Smock quarterback room, do better.
Yeah, there's some interesting names on this list, like Jeff Driskel, also at 60, Easton Stick at 60, Blaine Gabbert
better than
at
both
60.
Those. Yeah. Better than Blaine, than Gain Blabber.
Also, okay, so ahead of him, yeah, at 62, you got Jacob Eason. Bailey Zappe, who is at 63, who was he even drafted by the Patriots? Like, or was he
was.
Yeah, okay.
He was like drafted. A fifth round pick. I actually like Bailey Zappe a little bit.
But yeah, fifth round pick this year. Oh, I was going to point this out because I looked and Sam Howell, Commanders quarterback Sam Howell, who I lobbied for in the draft, he's at 67. One spot ahead of Jordan Love, who got a 66.
He's terrible. Sam
Just
Howell
saying,
is terrible.
Madden's on my side in this argument. I wanted Howell, you wanted Love, and we got neither, but Madden side no. with me. I win this argument. Suck it.
All right. I'll take it. I'm sucking on it right now. Although you got to admit that the misrating of Geno kind of takes all of the air out of your argument.
Well, it gets to my do better, because my do better this week is for Geno Smith. This offseason, I've been on board with the idea of Geno Smith likely being the one to come out of this quarterback competition with that win. But as this offseason goes on, it's changing. And my latest gripe to add to this list was Geno Smith's reaction on Twitter complaining about his Madden ranking with former NFL receiver Chad Johnson. This is something that Geno actually compares about. Take out the fact that he has a reasonable complaint. We covered it already.
Yeah. Yeah.
He has a gripe about it. But dude, this is a freaking football game. This is Madden. If you want to pick a Seahawks quarterback to play the game with, just use Eason or Locke. They've got the better rating. Use one of those guys and deal with it that way. Or do like most of us do, create a custom character, if that's even still a thing that you can do with Madden. Max out the ratings and give yourself a 99. It's a video game. For you to be complaining about this, Geno Smith, do better.
I want you to tell that to Quandre Diggs.
Why? Is he gonna fight me over
his
Madden ranking?
He was not happy about his Madden ranking. You go tell Q that he is not allowed to be pissed off over his Madden.
No,
go do it to his face.
Q can be he can be pissed about it because he's our starting safety. He's a Pro Bowler. He is amazing. Geno Smith, you got some work to do. Like complaining that you got a 60 when you should be a 68. You know, that's not worth. That's not something worth complaining about.
Okay. All right. Well, then I can tell that Geno is also being wildly disrespected by you.
I feel like 68 would be the right kind of company that he should be in.
I agree.
Because Tyrod Taylor. Okay, we'll give him a 69. Taylor Heinicke, Mitchell Trubisky, Tyrod Taylor. Malik Willis is at 69. Okay.
Maybe.
But yeah.
Yeah.
I'm with you that far, Geno. You deserved a 69.
Geno deserved a 69. You're right. Maybe he can call up one of DK's TikTok babes or whatever and get his 69.
I wasn't gonna go there. I was just gonna let that hang there.
Okay. Well, you can cut it out.
Well, not now. You responded to it.
Yeah. We'll put in a good DK joke there. Come on.
On to better at life.
My better at life than Skip Bayless this week is for the JWST, James Webb Space Telescope, sending back its first scientific images over this last week. We got to see its first deep field view, much like Hubble did a number of years ago, where it took Hubble 2 weeks of looking at a tiny patch of sky and taking zillions of pictures and then stitching it together. James Webb did more and saw further back in time in 2 hours. This telescope is amazing. The images are unbelievable, man. If that isn't awe-inspiring to you, then you're dead inside. Like, if you look at those images and it's not awe-inspiring, you literally, you aren't an alive human. The deep field view with the gravitational lensing of galaxies and things like that, it is just stunning. the fact that this is happening, it took forever to get here, and it is producing as advertised. James Webb Telescope, better at life than Skip Bayless.
Ooh, I haven't even looked at this yet, and I see the Phantom Galaxy picture. Looks like a wormhole. Ooh, that is neat. This looks like the types of images that they used to do the mock-up images of. Like they'd have a graphic person take the old images and just make them look cool. This looks cool by itself.
Yeah. There's one of the cliffs of something or other. They do a comparison to what Hubble took and then what Webb has taken. And it is really amazing.
Well, now I have something to do for the rest of the afternoon.
There you go. Look up space pictures and be awe-inspired because you are alive inside.
My better at life this week. You know what? I couldn't go this long without giving some love to our quarterback, Geno Smith. Yes. Mm. Yes, I dumped on him less than, I don't know, 3 minutes ago. But
no, man. The Geno roller coaster, the last 5 minutes of the show is all over the place, man.
Hey, I don't need him, much like Quandre. I don't need him going after me on Twitter next for taking issue with this minimal amount of disrespect. No, I don't need that.
Yeah, you do. All attention's good attention. Come on.
That is why my better at life is for Hall of Fame quarterback Geno Smith.
Mm.
This isn't some joke like Drew Locke is the next Drew Brees because they had similar stats their first couple of years and is a future Hall of Famer. No, Geno, unlike Drew, is a legit Hall of Famer, because this past week, West Virginia football announced that Geno Smith, along with seven other alumni, have been selected as members of the West Virginia University Sports Hall of Fame class of 2022. So for our 2022 Seahawks starting quarterback and Hall of Fame inductee, Geno Smith, better at life than Skip Bayless.
That's amazing. What color jackets do they get?
Blue and gold.
Do they get jackets?
They're school colors.
Is it like a Carson Wentz Washington Commanders kind of look?
I don't know.
Yeah. Did you see what he wore at his introductory press conference, Wentz?
No. Do I have to look this up now?
Yeah, you do.
I have the space image page pulled up. Now you're going to make me go to Carson Wentz.
This is also awe-inspiring. Yeah.
What did... Did he get style advice from Fitzmagic or?
Oh, I don't know. Is Fitzmagic colorblind?
Oh my gosh. He's got the gold jacket with the red shirt.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
He wore a banana jacket, Brandon. How does that make you feel?
I mean, it actually is fitting because it's a subpar color along with the the taste of the fruit.
Oh, good for you, man. I'm glad that wrapped up nicely for you.
Yeah. Oh, something else that's fun that I found out, and we are going to thank our $12 members and above. I found out that if you Google Drew Locke and Hall of Fame, our show from last month comes up at number 3 in the Google search results.
How?
Because I titled our episode, Drew Locke has a 4% chance at making the Hall of Fame.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Okay. Now that makes sense.
And yeah, it's kind of weird that it's not number 1, but...
What is number 1?
Because Drew Locke played in the Hall of Fame game with the Broncos 1 year.
Oh, I see.
That was number 1. It's every Drew Locke touch from the Hall of Fame game. So it's a video looking at that breaks down that tape. And then somebody did a list last season, NFL quarterbacks ranked by Pro Football Hall of Fame chances. Oh, I should look at this. Where does Drew Locke rank? No chance to make the Hall of Fame, Drew Locke. we upgraded him from 0 to 4.
Yeah, I'd say 4% is probably more accurate, but that's cool.
Well, some members of the flock that they have a chance at one day making our Hall of Fame. Let's get to it. Our list of $12 members and above.
Eat Ketover, aka Flocktimus Prime. University of Cybertron, Little Flockers, roll out.
DCH from Sparks, Nevada, the University of Montana Grizzlies.
Eric Trench, rooting for the Seahawks out of Renton, Washington, graduated from Eastern Washington University.
Jamison Holman from Murray, Utah, representing Mississippi State University. Hail State and go Hawks.
Gary Blum from Chappaqua, New York and the University of Pennsylvania, your 2016 Pick'em League champion.
Ron Pepper, UNLV Runnin' Rebels, San Francisco, California.
Hong Kong!
Hawks!
Hong Kong!
Hawks!
Hong Kong!
Hawks!
Ella Esparza, Woodway, Texas, Yale University, and Sam Houston State, Eat 'em Up Cats.
Lisa in Seattle.
Samuel Gelber, NoHo, California.
David Van Cleve, Camas, Washington, home of the Papermakers.
The Orchard Say, Luleå, Sweden, from Luleå Eskimos and Vancouver in front.
Paul from San Diego.
Aaron Fisher, a.k.a. Lock It In, Put It In Your Pocket, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Chris Boucher, a.k.a. The Biggest Little Flocker, South Central Louisiana State University. Go Mud Dogs.
Hey, Seahawkers. My name is Garen Taylor. I live in one of the most beautiful places in the world, North Idaho. Hashtag on the roads. Go Hawks.
Once again, a big thanks to our executive producers, DCH, Dustin Mock, Brian Shaw, and Rebecca Christensen. And continuing down the list of $12 supporters and above, starting with Christina in Manassas, Craig in Camas, Roe in Federal Way, James in Linwood, Sven in Berlin, Deutschland, Jeremiah in the Bronx, Jake in Seattle, Jared in Missoula, Hector in Issaquah, Young in Anchorage, Tim in Austin, Christian in Oslo, Norway, Jonathan in Ridgefield, Kathy in Eureka, California, Joshua in Seven Oaks, England, Brandon in Huntersville, North Carolina, James in Beaux Arts, Pepper in Greenville, South Carolina, Mitchell in El Dorado Hills, California, JC in Horsford, England, Kevin in Onaway, Idaho, Jeffrey in Kansas City, Kari in Rochester, Brian in Berlin, Connecticut, Jay in Linwood, Connie in Gothenburg, Sweden, Taylor in South Kalielum, Tracy in Kaneohe, Hawaii, Ewolf in Seattle, Kevin in Surrey, BC, Marvin in Riverdale, Utah, Dean in the Greater Hawkdom, John C. in the Greater Hawkdom, John W. in New York, Patrick in Sacramento, Bryson in Eltopia, Jeremy in Federal Way, Josh in Cander, New York, Ken in Hutto, Texas, Glenn in Ocoee, Florida, Flopster in Clovis, California, Mario in Seattle, Jeff in Bainbridge Island, Cora in Ditters, Deutschland, Anders in Vila, Denmark, Warren in Dundee, Oregon, Chris in Austin, Ivy in Renton, Amy in Squim, Preston in Phoenix, Kevin in Great Glen, England, Richard in Killeen, Texas, Joseph in Vancouver, Corey in Ridgefield, Joshua in Italy, Rafe in Beaverton, Oregon, Ryan in Salt Lake City, Kyle in the Greater Hawkdom, Norma in the Greater Hawkdom, Tim in Olympia, Jason in Panama City, Florida, Marlon in the Greater Hawkdom, Chad in Lexington Park, Maryland, Bridget in Redmond, Ryan in Crestview, Florida, Jamie in Oswestry, England, Chris in Billings, DJ in Menifee, California, Terrence in Seattle, Eugene in Henderson, Nevada, Daniel in Post Falls, Idaho, Jerv in Bristow, Virginia, Spooty Poo in Olympia, Jalen in Minneapolis, Ian in Seattle, Dan in the Greater Hawkdom, Kayla in Vancouver, Tanner in Kalispell, Montana, Ryan in Fairbanks, Jason in Portland, Nate in Solna, Sweden, Sean in Cascade, Iowa via Kalispell, Montana, Johnny D in Silverton, Oregon, Julio in Mililani, Hawaii, Leland in South Jordan, Utah, Ovary Smasher 69 in Phoenix, Joanna in Chesterfield, Virginia, Brian in OMAC, Jeff in Gilbert, Arizona, Gordon in Whitefish, Montana, Dr. G in League City, Texas, Tyler in the Greater Hawkdom, David in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, BB in Oakland, B-Walls 22 in New York, Jay in Fairbanks, Alaska, Sam in Alamonte Springs, Florida, Chris in Manchester, England, Logan in Evansville, Indiana, Daniel in the Greater Hawkdom, Steven in Irvine, California, and lastly, Mark in La Mirada, California. You know what? You're all in the Hall of Fame right now. Every single one of you, Hall of Famers in our minds. Thank you to our members of the flock at $12 and above.
Absolutely. I hope that the busts we have made of each and every one of you are satisfactory, because often the Hall of Fame busts are weird. So we'll do our best. We'll do our best. But don't worry. I just put all your heads in my bedroom up on the walls. It's not creepy at all.
It's not creepy at all. And with that,
there's only one thing left to say.
Go Hawks.
Go Hawks.